This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
This week, our podcast is brought to you by Aware Super. Regardless of whether retirement is 2 or 20 years away, Aware Super can help you get a plan in place to live your best retirement. Visit aware.com.au to find out more. Good morning, I'm Alice Dempster.
And I'm Siobhan Moran McFarlane.
It's Wednesday the 10th of April. In your Squiz today, saluting a new defence chief, extending Alice's youth curfew, the Matildas are bruised, and don't forget your manners. This is your Squiz today. Siobhan, fresh off appointing our new Governor-General last week, PM Anthony Albanese yesterday named Vice Admiral David Johnston as the new Chief of the Defence Force. He'll replace General Angus Campbell when he starts on the 10th of July.
Yeah, and it's worth noting that his appointment is a big deal for the Navy, Alice, because they haven't had one of their own take up the role in 22 years. The appointment does still need approval from outgoing Governor General David Hurley, but it's basically a done deal because Albanese says Johnston's selection was an easy decision and Defence Minister Richard Marles has called him a safe pair of hands.
And for his part, Johnston says he's very conscious of the responsibility that comes with the role. And Siobhan, that is probably the case because he's had a long career with the Navy since he joined back in 1978. Can you give us some of the top lines?
Sure. So he served on a couple of warships, the HMAS Adelaide and HMAS Newcastle. He's also been on some deployments, including to Fiji ahead of the 2006 coup, and also the Middle East to lead operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. He was also appointed Vice Chief of the Defence Force in 2018. So he's really well regarded. And he's not the only one, as several others have also secured new roles, including three women. They're Michelle McGuinness, Natasha Fox, and Susan Coyle. They'll all be serving in senior leadership roles, which Marles has called a very significant step forward. And that's because this time last year, there had never been a woman who had served at the level of a three-star.
And as for what's on Johnston's agenda, the big issue for him will be AUKUS. That's the regional security pact with Oz, the UK and the US. And as we spoke about on Monday, it was confirmed yesterday that Japan is being considered as a new member of AUKUS, along with other allies like Canada. That's something that China says it's gravely concerned about. We've spoken a lot about the ongoing ceasefire negotiations between Israel and Hamas, but yesterday Hamas said that the latest Israeli proposal failed to meet their demands. But they do say they'll continue to review the offer. That's happened alongside Israeli PM Benjamin Netanyahu saying a start date for Israel's offensive in the city of Rafah has been set.
Yes, but Netanyahu didn't say when that date is. Instead, he said that the ground offensive is necessary for, and these are his words, the elimination of the terrorist battalions there. But yesterday, PM Anthony Albanese was among several world leaders urging against a ground invasion. And the concern is that more than 1.5 million Palestinian civilians are sheltering in Rafah, and increased military action could cause the 33,000 death toll to rise.
And as those discussions continue, some Palestinians have been returning to the city of Khan Yunis after Israeli forces withdrew from there on Monday. There are plenty of photos floating around online, but what they've found, Siobhan, is that many of their homes have been completely destroyed by the fighting. There's been an update to the situation in Alice Springs, Siobhan. Its youth curfew has been extended for 6 days over the remainder of the territory's school holidays. That's after the government and police force heard feedback from local residents. And it'll take it up to 6 a.m. next Tuesday.
Yeah, so just to recap, that curfew was put in place in response to a wave of violent crime after the death of a local teenager last month. And it saw people aged under 18 years old barred from the town CBD between the hours of 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. daily. The NT's chief minister, Eva Lawler, says she has anecdotal evidence that it's displaying very encouraging results, but that is despite some local elders criticising it.
Yeah, Lawler also said yesterday that her government will accept 15 of the 18 recommendations that were put forth in a new Northern Territory police review, but she warned that it would come at significant cost. She said we'll see unprecedented resources provided to the Northern Territory police force. A quick message now from our podcast partner, BHP. Across the next couple of weeks, we'll be talking to Squizzers about BHP and the work they're doing to provide the materials that we need to transition to a low-emission economy for the energy transition. At the start of the podcast, you heard how copper is used to make electric vehicles, wind turbines, and solar panels. So when it comes to producing it, reducing emissions is a priority. And that's why BHP is making solar, wind, and battery deals to help power their South Australian Olympic Dam copper mine. It's happening now at BHP. FYI, Siobhan, the Paris Olympics are kicking off on the 26th of July, just in case you needed the reminder. And just a few months out from that, the Matildas are dealing with injuries to more of their star players.
So, of course, we already know that captain Sam Kerr ruptured her ACL in January, and she's not looking very likely to be lacing up her boots in Paris. But now Katrina Gorry and Claire Hunt are also under question. Coach Tony Gustafsson said yesterday that both players will sit out this morning's friendly match against Mexico, and he's going to be testing out a new roster.
Yeah, he reckons they're taking the chance to use the game against Mexico to learn about ourselves and where we are on this journey. And the captain, Steph Catley, also kept it positive. She said the team is feeling comfortable and confident.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. And fingers crossed they get out there and do the business. That game will be on at 10 a.m. Eastern time, and you can check it out on Channel 10.
Siobhan, you were telling me that you love some good manners,
yes.
Which really doesn't surprise me at all because you have excellent manners yourself.
Why, thank you.
But it sounds like Gen Z is not following in your footsteps.
Oh, Alice, I'm really crazy about manners. I really am. And unfortunately, a poll of 2,000 young people in the UK showed that 60% of 12 to 27-year-olds reckon traditional table manners are kaput. So that's things like having your elbows off the table and holding your knife and fork in a particular way, which, as far as I'm concerned, should be mandatory. Clearly, I'm not a Gen Zer. But worse still, more than a third of them also admitted to using their phone at the table, which is my absolute pet peeve and the death of any kind of romance or fun at a dinner.
Yeah, well, you're not alone, Siobhan. One etiquette advisor agrees with you. Her name is Liz Weiss. She says the main aim of polishing up your manners is not to look greedy, voracious, or over-casual, which might be offensive to hosts. So you've been told, Gen Z.
Yeah, Liz Weiss is very wise.
Quiz today. News Club has been talking about the very big, and I'm talking billions of dollars big, kids show that's taken over the world, Bluey.
Yeah, so Kate and Claire have delved into the business of the show, which will be, by the way, airing an extra long special episode, The Sign, this Sunday. So that's why you're seeing a lot about it in the news at the moment. And one of their club picks is an article containing an interview with Bluey's creator, Joe Brum. He says he transferred a lot of his own life experiences into the show, but something I didn't know was his love of The Simpsons. He said he loved how it made a success of a show that worked for both parents and kids, and that's something that he thought about while making Bluey. And he also talked about how he was intent on making the show as Aussie as possible after a decade of working in the UK. So there's so much more to Bluey than I ever knew, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And if you're keen to hear that episode, look for News Club in your podcast app and hit follow. That's it from us today. We'll be back with you again tomorrow.
G'day, I'm Kate Watson, co-host of News Club. News Club this week was an interview with Lauren Sams. She's the fashion editor at the Australian Financial Review. She's all over the business of fashion and retail, so I pulled her in to talk to us about fast fashion and ultra fast fashion. In particular, businesses like Temu and Shein, who in Australia alone are on track to record more than $2 billion in sales. Here's a clip from that conversation.
What is happening is that it's recalibrating fashion as a single-use item. Mm. So when you think about something that's $6 or $7, you know, I bought coffee this morning and that was $5.50. And that's a single use item to me. You know, I have my coffee.
Like actually is like you cannot use that twice.
No. And so when you're talking about a dress yeah. that's sort of an equivalent price, people equate it with something that doesn't need to be valued. You don't need to wear it again.
To listen to the full interview, just search for News Club in your podcast app and hit follow.